Good morning. May God's rich blessing be with us this morning. I felt for this morning, it's not fair that I get to share last. I think I should have been first. Just the thoughts and what goes through your mind and the newness and everyone's sharing it and kind of our hearts are at the same place. And so, yeah, I was thinking I should have shared first and then let the rest of you share. I welcome each of you. I'm blessed to be here in fellowship together in all the things that we've been thinking about. And what I'd like to do as we start here, I know that we've had lots of conversation. We've had, we've been anticipating this for some time. And so it's something we're well aware of, but I'd like to do it anyway. I'd like to, in a form of blessing, I'd like to welcome each family here, by family, that has committed their hearts to being part of the outreach here. So, can I say, on behalf of the outreach, for all of us, welcome Ben and Samantha and family. And welcome James and Melody and son. I was going to say family, but... welcome Dave and Crystal and your family. Welcome Josh and Sharon and your family. Welcome Myron and Lily. And welcome Peter and Anna Gunther and your family. Also a special welcome to the boys and girls. Again, you think of this change. You think of you have... maybe less friends now, all gathered together, smaller group, and yet still a blessing. And I think of Alton and Caden. You're our oldest now, our oldest teenagers. What a blessing that'll be. Twyla, you're the oldest teenager for the girls. So much opportunity, so much before us. And it's like sowing seeds. It's there's a path in front of us. And... I look forward to that path for all of us. And I think it can be, it's a change, it's something new. And yet we do that with our hearts wanting to serve God. And so that'll be a blessing. So we all together, we can say welcome to each other and bless each other in our commitment that we want to take up together. I think God gave me this blessing of starting again in a smaller group. Because God wants to help me try to remember everyone's names. And in a larger group, I just can't do it. I'm so bad with names. And one of the thoughts, highlights for me thinking of our getting together is the highlight of getting to know each other more and knowing each other's names. So all the children, I got to learn your names. I look forward to that. We're starting a new journey together. We have been looking forward to this with hope and anticipation and some thought on, has God called you out here? And as we know, as we walk through life, God has a way of bringing people together or even situations into our life in a way that is very physical. Someone might ask you, are you sure God called you to be part of this church in West Lorne? And your response could be, well, I just chose to go. I mean, is that God's will or is it not? And yet I think, yeah, God lays the burdens on the hearts. And for whatever reason, whatever God laid on your heart, we're here together. And I trust that as we think about this, that we can receive it and accept it as God's blessing and direction for us. And that he has called us here. So we are part of... a work of God. I think about, we could go into details of all the things that, Lord willing, 10 years from now, we're going to look back on and we're going to see a lot of harvest from seeds. You know, like Brother Ben said about the neighbor, trying to win the neighbor over. Can you imagine winning him over and he joined church? Now, that would be a real blessing. And so a lot will be done. Seeds will be sown and harvests will be made. And we'll look back and we'll just see this as that journey. And so we're part of a work of God that I believe will be a blessing to us, and it will help us serve Him. For myself, brothers and sisters, for you families that are committed to the outreach here, I want to say that I feel blessed and privileged to be serving with you, and hopefully, as we will serve each other. So I'm blessed to be able to serve with you and serve you. And so it's a privilege thinking of, it's special. It's this, there's a togetherness that's more than if we were to go out for coffee, even though that would be nice too. But this togetherness to me, it means more, thinking in light of us as a Christian, servants of the Lord. This togetherness to me is special. So I know, and I don't know how official I wanted to be this morning, but so for Brother John and Sue and your family, thank you for visiting us this morning as the ministry, and Henry and Susie and your family and John Margaret. I think I want to say on behalf of us then, we'd like to thank you and bless you for coming and supporting us. That's a blessing to us. And I don't know that we normally would do this, but I just want to recognize that what we're beginning, with our new journey that we're beginning, we want to recognize that a lot of labor has been put together in this, in making this come together. We're not able to participate in God's work and in getting and coming together just because overnight we decided to do so. As I was pondering this, and I was pondering the home congregation, and I just sensed, in that way, I wish even they were here for me to share with them the same thankfulness, this gratitude. I feel a lot of labor over many years has been done as the church has grown, as young children grow older, as, you know, the teachings and the preachings and the prayers have been prayed, and just this body of togetherness seeking God over years and years. And as we know, we find ourselves that we wanted to do an outreach, and here we are participating in the outreach for us. And I'm grateful for all the work that our home church has done over years of time serving the Lord. And I feel like just to acknowledge that's part of, that's part of the open door that why we're able to be here. It's a lot of labor that has come together. And so we're grateful for that. For us, I'd like to do the same as something similar to what Brother Ben shared. I did know what he was going to share about, but we had not discussed who was sharing what. And it seems like our heart and burden was very much similar. I'll be reading out of a different passage. But it was neat to hear that again, our hearts are beating, our minds are thinking a lot of the similar thoughts. And so that's a blessing. I was thinking about us and us as families that are committing ourselves to being part of this outreach. And one thing I was reminded of is, and I trust this is a reality for all of us, but just that we would all, have committed our decision in being part of this outreach to the Lord. It's not just a lighthearted, yet we're in the outreach, but yet, that we would have committed our decision to the Lord. It's going to be an obedience to a call, more than just a switch of direction in place. It's an obedience to a call. And being that it's Christ that called, again, I feel it's sacred. It's a blessing. And so each one of us, may we find ourselves there, that we have committed our decision and we've surrendered our will to God's leading and direction, and that us coming together here is us following God's will. With that, I also think of this as we come together, and as much has been shared, we each do a lot of the labor. We'll all be participating in labor, but we acknowledge, and I trust you would find yourself there as well, we acknowledge and accept that this is God working through us. I appreciated Ben's thought there on who would lift himself up. You know, when we think in light of, and I'll have a verse that will reference the same topic. But yeah, that was a good question. Who would lift himself up? And we would say, none of us. None of us want to lift ourselves up in any way. So we acknowledge this to be God's work in us and through us. And again, I would say, families, brothers and sisters, I think that's a treasure. I also would share this to us this morning to just have this, have us soak this up and to, again, just treasure the work of God and the decisions that we've made and how he has brought us here. I believe we all have. We've all made a voluntary commitment to each other. Now, follow my train of thought here. We have all made a voluntary commitment to each other that we're going to serve God. Not, and then after that, that we will serve each other. And again, for me, that was it was a good thought. It was precious to think that we have made a commitment together that we will serve God. I want you to know that I want to serve God. And I trust that you want to serve God. And again, that takes us out of the carnal realm of who wants to do what and have any sort of carnal reasoning for it. It's actually us doing God's will, not us doing our own will. I kind of thought of this phrase. I hope it makes sense. I found it to be a blessing, but this is the relationship. And before I read that phrase, I was pondering what to share. And as I was thinking of us as an outreach, and it's a new beginning, and there's something about it. I've never been part of it before. Some of you have. I've never been part of a new beginning like that. I've said it to some. The idea that we have seven brothers fellowshipping together, willing to serve, and each one of you willing to serve. And I was thinking of the ratio and just the aspect that 100% of the brothers are willing to serve. And as we've had discussion already, I think we'll be busy. You'll be busy. We'll be busy together. And to be honest, I don't know. I've never had the experience of that sort of blessing, to be able to just ponder that we have all the brothers willing to serve, and just the strength behind that, the strength behind each one willing to serve and how it will affect us. And so that's a blessing. I've heard others, you've shared that you have been part of something like that. That's great. I guess I'm just trying to say, highlight that, how blessed I am that I get to be part of that. So this little phrase I wanted to have us absorb is, in light of Christ asking each one of us, and this outreach is not our own, this outreach is God's, our hearts are as they were before, even in Comber, to serve God. And so from here, we lean on the Lord, and we want to continue that same path and serve the Lord as an extension of Comber. And with it comes labor and much else that will come with it. And I thought of this little phrase here. If Jesus would come to each one of us, and this question or this phrase is more applicable this morning to us because it's a new beginning, and is why I wanted to highlight it. But this is a phrase we could ask ourselves anytime and all the time. But the phrase is like this: if Jesus was here, like he was talking to us, like he did with Peter, I think of our hearts being at a place, and this is how I wrote the phrase. Each one of us on our knees surrendered to Christ. And all of us together on our knees surrendered to Christ. You follow that train of thought? Again, our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ is the one that we're bowing to. And so me, on a personal level, saying to my Lord, you know, I'm surrendered to your will. And then as a corporate group, together on our knees with that same sort of heart set, Lord, we're submitted to your will. And I think that's strong. So often, I find myself guilty of, I can be part of something and not be part of it. I can be part of something, and yet somehow I don't have that maybe teamwork or that heart of commitment that's fully there. And so as I was pondering the blessing of a new beginning and brothers and sisters coming together and giving a commitment of willingness to serve, and I was thinking of this, that my first goal is not to serve you. My first goal is to serve God. And your first goal isn't to serve me or anyone else. It is to serve God. And so with us having, being surrendered to Christ individually, we can all together be surrendered to Christ. And I must say, as I was pondering this, to me, that seems to be one of the most beautiful thoughts in light of thinking of starting an outreach. Just a heart of surrenderedness to God. We can sometimes have this heart feel of maybe some fear. I know some of you have shared some concerns and some negative experiences, and we're not sure where it was going. I know when there is a general conversation, it's often about, well, that church and that preacher and so on. And I must say, I kind of shiver at the fact that now it's this preacher sometimes maybe, or Ben as a minister as well. And so I just know how often I hear someone say, oh, that preacher and that church and that, and that. And it's like, how sad, how sad. To me, I feel it's how sad. I have the blessing and privilege of sharing to you this morning. But my heart is that as we take in the word, we hear and I share, and anyone that shares, Ben and Dave this morning, and song leading for Brother James, I trust that our experience, that we're going to focus in on this statement here. Each one of us surrendered to Christ, and all of us together surrendered to Christ. And I feel like that is the best way to do that, so that our hearts are right before God, that we're at peace, and we can trust God that He will lead us. We have a lot of work ahead of us. We have discussed some of these things. We'll be busy, and I think it'll be a joy. Each one of you, and I myself, serving to the best of your abilities with what God has given us. Not feeling like you need to take someone else's place, but you serve, I serve, in what way I can with what God gives to me. And I would like to say to all of you, so brothers and sisters, also boys and girls, thinking of the young men helping with a lot of the work, and young lady helping with the sisters and their work, what a blessing that will be. And I just want to say in advance, thank you. Thank you for your work that you will do, and the blessing that you will be as we serve together. May God richly reward you. So those are some beginning thoughts. And from here, I'd like to go into, we'll call the main message, which will be out of Ephesians. But before we do that, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we again bow before you. Lord, we bow in your presence. And Lord, we quiet ourselves. We humble ourselves. And Lord, we acknowledge how you are the one that works in us and through us. And Lord, we also submit ourselves to your will. And God, we know that we have much need. Often we are blind to your ways, or often we can be hard of hearing. And so, Lord, we ask that you would have mercy on us, in that you would help us, be patient with us, and help us to hear. And Lord, as we think of this outreach and the many blessings that we look forward to in having in fellowship, where we will participate together in serving you and worshiping you, Lord, I pray that you would bless us here this morning. Lord, may you bless your word that's already been shared. And now, Lord, I ask that you would bless your word as we would like to look into Ephesians. Lord, bless your word to us. Help our hearts, Lord, to absorb what you are saying to us. And help us to take that courage and make that choice that we will strive and serve you. Lord, we ask for your blessing for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 4. And I feel what I would call this is a letter from a brother to us. I was pondering as I was reading through Ephesians and just pondering the different verses and what I would call this. And it came to me as, maybe we can think of this as a personal letter written to us, thinking in light of starting a church, starting an outreach. It fits very well. What a blessing it would be, I can imagine, in Paul's time. to receive a letter from a brother who was walking with the Lord, and he gives this wonderful blessing, the wonderful word to the church. And for us this morning, what we're going to read, and I'm going to call this message, The Calling for the Brotherhood. For us, it's our first Sunday gathering together, and our hearts are that we're starting an outreach. And as I looked at Ephesians 4, it just blessed my heart to read what I was reading. And I just thought this would be a perfect letter for someone to write to those who are starting a church. And so maybe we receive it that way this morning, that maybe we could call this Paul's letter to us as we think about starting a church. There's going to be powerful things that are said here, and there's going to be heavy or deep theological meanings that get alluded to in these verses. And what we'll notice is there's practical advice to us, and it reflects a heavenly kingdom that's much more than just a physical mind can understand. I appreciate how this is written again, where he gives the practical advice, and as you ponder and you kind of look into the words of what he's saying, there's so much spiritual treasure in what he has said. And so, yeah, let's apply this to ourselves. Let's start reading in Ephesians. And I'm going to go verse by verse, and we'll go through Ephesians. It's Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And we'll be going up to verse 16 for this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Here, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Thinking of us coming together as families, starting an outreach, it's so much about us. There's going to be a lot of work that gets done. There's going to be a lot of changes for our lives. For some of you that will be moving here shortly, what a change that you will be making. So your feelings, your mind, a lot of what goes through our heart and mind is going to be physical. It's going to be the reality of a change of life. And here, it's that reality of life, of the amount of change that you will participate in. And what I am overjoyed with is your testimony of how God has called you. I don't know how I would explain that to us to try to build up that value. If you could put a price tag to it, just this reality that, again, let's use the example that Christ would be here with us and would call us here. And he would look at each one of us, and I trust this is our testimony. He can look at each one of us and say, you, my child, you are striving to serve me. You're committed to serving me. And so each one of us that's here, we are called, and we have this calling, and it's actually, and again, referencing how much it will be about physical change, but this calling isn't physical. It's completely spiritual. There's a blessing that God gives, and that calling that we've received from him, it is spiritual. Let's look at that a little bit. So I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Vocation is calling. Walk worthy of the calling wherewith ye are called. What is that calling? Again, this message would apply just as much to anywhere, anytime. But thinking of us here, and this calling is not the outreach calling in itself, but what is this calling? And I was pondering what this calling is, and to see what the calling is, we're going to backtrack a little and go to Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 16 to 21. Look at what the calling is. If you go through Ephesians chapter by chapter, you'll see here at the end of chapter 3, it's Paul's prayer for the group. And verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1, it starts, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And as I was just meditating on what could be his reference what would bring us to that calling that he is talking about? And I don't know if this is the exact one that he would reference, but this is a very powerful one that we'll see here starting in verse 16. So this is mine and your calling between you and God, me and God, that he, God, would grant you according to his riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Would you like to expound and explain that verse? That he would grant you, he's going to give it to you, according to his riches. How big, how what's his riches like? Small, little, you know, if you ask me for my riches, if it was referred to money, well, I don't have very much, very little to give. But for the Lord here, according to the riches of his glory, what does he want to give to you? What does all this mean? And for what purpose? To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Well, one of my highlights of reading this verse is this. There is something far more in living for God than just an idea that I'm a Christian. The idea that I live day to day and a tag on that name, yep, I'm a Christian, doing the right deeds, has very little meaning. But here it leads us to think there's a lot more to living as a Christian. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So if God would allow us to tap into his might and that he would, by his Spirit, work in me, what work would he do? How much work would he do? Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Maybe we could say it's wonderful, as King David, at that time David, slew Goliath. A wonderful story of Daniel and the trials that he went through. The three friends being in the fire, Daniel in the lion's den, and all these great stories. But I wonder if there isn't a much greater work that God would do in our life. And that great work is that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. To kill Goliath was a small thing. Even today, to do miracles today is a very small thing. Moving a great mountain is a tiny little miracle compared to us having a greater and greater understanding of who God is. And for God to do a great work that he could, and I would have to add, he often struggles to try to teach me more of who he is. But a miracle, a work of God would be that I would learn more of who he is. We read there in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Could you and I testify that yes, I'm grounded in love? To me, it would be a bit of a struggle to explain what exactly that is, or to what level. We look at Christ as the perfect example, and we see him giving his life. First, becoming a man, whom he created, becoming like his creation, and then being ridiculed and harassed and then killed for that. And he was willing to do that in love. No retaliation, no evil thoughts. There's something about that example, that I can agree that he dwelt. He was grounded in love. And that is what God wants for me. So, and to know the love of Christ, verse 19, which passeth knowledge. Well, knowledge, information, understanding. Should we go to school? Should we learn about the love of Christ? And we cannot learn it. The scholar can't learn it. He can't find it unless he served the Lord and through Christ receive it. So it's almost like saying, There's not a whole lot of point to try to explain with knowledge or a curriculum the love of Christ. And again, we know that someone needs to receive Christ before they can understand. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So he can do more than we could think. Above all that we ask or think. That's what he can do in and through us. According to the power that worketh in us. As we had read earlier in verse 16, by his might, his spirit will work in our inner man. That we would know the love of Christ. Verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. World without end. What I see here is I see surrendered hearts fully surrendered to God. And to a level that I cannot understand. There's a level of surrenderedness to God that is beautiful. And I would say, as the description gives it to us here, it seems to be perfect. And that's the challenge to us, that we would also grow in that. So going back to verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And I'd like for us to ponder it this way this morning, that the vocation, one of them, should we say, or the calling that we know we have, as we just read in verses 16 through 21, a calling that we have is that we would know the love of God and allow his power and might to work through us. In light of that, in light of those verses, again, Paul says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Let's go to verse 2. How do you think we would? And this is again to us as a brotherhood here wanting to participate in God's work in an outreach. How would we walk worthy of the calling wherewith we are called? And I believe he answers that in part starting in verse 2. He says to us, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. That's what he says. Again, for me, I feel like this is very foundational. It's very deep of what he is saying. And he's giving us the practical now. He's giving us the, before in chapter 3 there, he gave us the spiritual. And we meditate and we ponder, you know, God's mighty spirit working in me. To a level more than I can ask or think. And what I normally do is I ask myself, okay, on a practical level, what's the Lord doing in my life? And then I see myself having a need of seeking the Lord more because woe to me if it be that he can't work in me because I'm in unbelief. And so I want to be open and ready for him to work in me and through me. So verse 2 there again, with all lowliness and meekness, the practical outworkings. And I trust you would agree that this is the fruit. This is actually a gift that we receive when Christ is working in us. I'm not saying it comes naturally, but this is a working, an outworking that is practical in our flesh, in our minds, in our hearts, how we think. This is a practical outworking of God having done a work in me. That I would, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. And I want to highlight here, I want to be text specific with this verse. When we reference lowliness, meekness, longsuffering, and forbearing, let us just remember that our connection is God in his mighty spirit doing a mighty work in you and in me. God is in control. God is doing the work. We are surrendered to God. And in that state, and it's not only in that state, but I want to highlight this. I want to highlight it in this context. Paul is writing this letter to the church, and his heart is that everyone in the church there would find themselves that in that place where God, through his mighty Spirit, works in their lives in a mighty way. And then he goes on to bring it to here. So what I want to highlight here is that surrendered heart, that committedness to God, and the reality that God is working, okay? And from there, he says, this is the outworking from our life. That it's lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing. And I say that for two reasons. One, and it's not that it can't be done here, but I want to highlight something for us. I actually would like to create a heart set that says that puts us in protection mode. Very, very often when there's much trouble and there's disagreements and there's heaviness in churches, they quote these verses. And it is a time to quote the verse, and it's right and it's good. And the blessing that I feel that I'm just overjoyed with is we have an opportunity, we all do all the time, but as I was studying this in light of us here, we have an opportunity, and I have the comfort and the confidence that God is working in you, each of you, and God is working in me. And so God is working in our hearts, in our life, and in that context, as we are, it's not the heaviness and the weight and the, well, we shouldn't gossip and we shouldn't say this and we shouldn't do that and all the negative. And then we would quote the verse, this is how we should be, which is, it would be correct. But here we have this, we want to follow Paul's heart. Paul's heart is that you would be here, which is where I believe we are. Your testimonies, just with following God. And then he says, this is practical now. This is you serving the Lord practically, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another. These are more than personal qualities. For the life worthy of the calling of God is a life in the fellowship of the people of God. And if this is to be maintained, these four virtues are vital. So we're going to highlight that. God, this is given to us by Paul to us, not just because you want a nice a social gathering, but God has a very heavy burden, we're going to say this morning, that we would fellowship one with another. And again, thinking of us as an outreach, this is God's will for us, that we would be part of his work. And he gives us this courage. These are not just personal qualities. This is needful for us. For the life worthy of the calling of God is a life in the fellowship of the people of God. I'm not sure if I'm giving you enough thoughts or enough, if I'm saying enough to bring that weight and that blessing together. It takes us out of the picture and it puts us on our knees before God, and God is in charge. And his word is mighty, it's powerful and very directional in how we can serve him. So let's look at this aspect of lowliness. In Christ, lowliness became a virtue. His life and death were service and sacrifice without thought of reputation. Because the Christian is called to follow in his steps, humility has an irreplaceable part in the Christian character. And so often we can find ourselves on the opposite side of this, where if there isn't humility, there is pride. And humility can't surrender. And this meekness or this lowliness, again, we're going to just highlight the context here. This lowliness is me first surrendering to God and his will, and then being humble with my brother. So in that context, it's not me and you can't get along and I need to be lowly, so I'm just going to be quiet and you know, give in. That's not lowliness. Here, this lowliness is a humility, but the heart is still strong in doing God's will. So that's what I want to highlight. In lowliness, seeking to do God's will. And also for the reason that he has been brought to see the greatness and glory and holiness of God. This is where we connect with what Ben shared about who would lift himself up. We have, in lowliness, you know, once we have seen the greatness and glory and holiness of God, which one of us could stand up and say, oh, I can be proud. I have something to be proud about. And we have the words of Paul where Paul, he says, I'm the worst one. There is no pride there, where he could say to them how he was a Pharisee and all the things that he would lift up about himself. to be lowly. The next one here is meekness. Meekness was used in classical Greek in the good sense of mildness or gentleness of character. Meekness in the New Testament is used of a person's attitude to the Word of God, but more often of one's attitude to other people. It is closely connected with the spirit of submissiveness. Okay, what we're going to highlight here, meekness, submissiveness. And again, the outworking, the proper outworking of this would be that I am meek and submissive to God's word, desiring God's will and working out that way. Again, it's not you finding a back corner saying, oh, I'm not important. I'm just a nobody. I'm very submissive. And so on. It's not a negative. It is a positive. We can be strong of character. We can have meekness and yet strive and be courageous in doing God's will. But this submissiveness that we want to reflect here is a submissiveness first to God's word, God's will, then to each other. Always. Always God's word first, then to each other. That keeps it from a person, a man, lifting himself up and being where a man would be first rather than God's word. It should always be God's word first, then, should there be a need for direction from men, it would follow after God's word. Okay, so thirdly, there's patience. A word sometimes used of steadfast endurance of suffering or misfortune. But more often, as in the case here, of slowness in avenging wrong or retaliation when hurt by another. It is used of God's patience and humanity and the example Christians should be towards others. So we should be long-suffering or patient. Patient in suffering. Again, where our heart is trusting God, seeking God's will, and as we seek His will, we are patient. We are long-suffering. And fourth here, forbearance. The fourth requirement is also a divine quality. It is the practical outworking of long-suffering. It involves bearing with one another's weakness, not ceasing to love one's neighbor or friends because of those faults in them which perhaps offend or displease us. It is that mutual tolerance without which no group of human beings can live together in peace. Such forbearance, and indeed all these four qualities, are possible only in love. For love is the basic attitude of seeking the highest good of others. This it will say that Paul is telling us, giving us some advice. He's saying, you're thinking of starting an outreach. You have brothers and sisters coming together. You're going to fellowship together. You're going to have a church together. Here's his advice. One, the first advice that we want to heed is chapter 3, 16 to 21, that God is working in our life. And I believe that's important that we have that confirmation. God is working in my life. And then he goes on to give us verse 2 in chapter 4, that we should be in lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, and forbearing, all in glorifying God. Not in getting space, not in being slack, not in being, not in compromising or any of such negative thoughts, but all in light of the mighty Spirit through God's might and His Spirit working in us mightily. In that context, we want to think of this. Verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And what I'll highlight here in this verse for us, we have this privilege, we have this before us, and may our hearts again draw to it and absorb it and meditate on this. The encouragement here that we would endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. And there's a struggle between knowing, is it the atmosphere, like is it my spirit to your spirit that we're at peace, that type of unity? Or is it, as we've been referencing here in other verses, is it God's Spirit working in me, God's Spirit working in you, and that we are in unity? And so as I've studied it, the conclusion is that it's God's Spirit, God's work in my and your life, and that those two would come together and be in unity. So it's not a matter of do we agree in ideas or disagree in ideas, but here's the powerful thought for you and I. Again, how God can work in your life and in my life, bringing us together in unity, and we have His strength working on our behalf, keeping us together. Thinking of outreach, I think of this. It's good and it's right for us to strive and be together, putting our efforts together. But it is better to have God's work, God's Spirit working in us, keeping us together. God can do much more in us and through us than we could agree together on physical matters. So endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, that we would have a desire and we would work towards keeping the unity of the Spirit. So my heart and what I'm sharing here is just to do what we'll call, what's the preaching called when it's verse by verse?
Expository.
Expository. So I'm not trying to, it's literally and truly just expository going verse by verse. And it's interesting how much is practical. And so we have this blessing that we work and labor together to keep the unity. And I want to highlight something in the background of this. Imagine for any brother in the Lord, but for us it's going to be practical here this morning. Just imagine each one of us having this burden, first, that we seek God and that God works in us. We have a burden for God. We have seen His glory, a part of His glory. We have seen His righteousness. We have seen a part of His holiness. So we are compelled within to serve the Lord. And with that compelling, we also have a burden for my brother, and that we together would be united with God's will. God's will. God's will. Not my will, your will, his will, their will. God's will. And as I was thinking about a group, as I think about teamwork, I feel like there's nothing more powerful than Christians submitted to God, where God works in and through them. And when God has free reign in the Christians' hearts and lives, God does a mighty, mighty work. And then it confirms in verse 4 there, it expounds and confirms what he's saying. And this is us. This is us together. There is one body. We are part of Christ's body. There's only one. There's one body and one Spirit. And even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Maybe we could pause and just, as we think about these words, think about the invitation that God gives and the desire God would have that He could work and live in us. And again, I say this not that He doesn't, but I say this that He wants to do it more. He wants to do it more for me. He wants to do it more for you. And it's just a blessing how God invites us to learn more and understand more of Him, that He can do this. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore He saith, and this is a blessing, who will lift himself up? Look what it says here. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. My gift, your gift, our gifts, they're given to us by God. And may we find ourselves where we thank the Lord for the gift He gives us, and that we can be faithful in using that gift for His glory. I'm going to skip verse 9 and 10 there. Verse 11, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is, again, this beauty that comes together here. I've never really seen it this strongly. It just blessed me to think that how strong God's call is that we here in this world, that we would dwell together in fellowship. As I read earlier, for the life worthy of the calling of God is a life in the fellowship of the people of God. And that's God's heart. And here, We have that starting there in verse 12. This is the purpose of the gifts that God gave. God gave these gifts for the purpose of the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Now we pull back and we go back to verse 2. This is where it becomes practical. Each brother will use their gift and will encourage and preach and teach and all the things that they will do, evangelize. We will do that to each other. That's what we're called to do. And we're going to do it with lowliness, meekness, and long-suffering, and forbearance. And as those two come together, and woe is us if we decide not to use our gifts to edify one another, but that we would use our gifts for the perfecting of the saints. And here's what the result is: as we labor together, and we live out verse 2, and we live out verse 12. Here is the result of that. We're going to do this, and this is the result: till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I was pondering this and thinking of it this way. Christ is so much higher than we are. I can only understand a small window. I have a small piece of that pie. You have a small piece of that pie. Another brother or sister has a small piece of that pie. And it's all of us bringing each piece of pie together that makes that full pie. It's all of us teaching each other. And as we grow in Christ and we live this out together, the result is that we will be in unity because His Spirit is in us, in the faith, and we're going to grow in knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I found that to be a tremendous blessing, to think that you and I will co-labor together and teach each other of Christ. That's what we do. That's what church is all about. Co-laboring together, teaching each other who Christ is. The idea of having different gifts, maybe we could call it sometimes different views, and how we co-labor those together, we live those out, and it will help us to see Christ. I think that's powerful. This is what happens, or this is the, this is what we can, not, this is what we can overcome, or there's a struggle here that we don't have to go through, which is verse 14. So if we do not have verse 13, 12, and 2, then we have this, that we would be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That is what would happen when we're not together. But as we do God's work, God's way, this is where we would be. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things which is the head, even Christ. I want to read that verse again. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Something that comes to me here as I think about this is the reality of my need. The blessing of your strength and your God working in your life so much affects and blesses my need. That's why, that's why you're here. You're here to follow the Lord to help me. I'm here to follow the Lord, hopefully some way being able to help you. That blessing together. And each one of us stands before God in great need. And as we know, and we could tell stories of the effect of the church when they love God, you know, the testimonies of families having help in very difficult times and how the world looks at churches and like, what's wrong with them? It's almost odd. In studying the topics here of lowliness, meekness, and patience, it gave a little description of the time frame of Jesus's time. The idea of being lowly to them was so foreign. You got to be a Roman soldier. Humbleness, meekness, it was just unreal. They wanted nothing to do with that. And that's who Christ was. A humble, lowly person walking in this proud generation. So we have this blessing that we can love and work together and to help each other. And I'll just add here, so this reality that I'm here wanting to serving the Lord so that you will learn and serve Him more. You're here serving the Lord and to help me see more of Him and serve Him more. And all of that is done in lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, and forbearance. And each one of us together again finds ourselves, each one personally, on our knees before Christ, surrendered, and corporately on our knees before Christ, surrendered. That must be the greatest struggle the churches have, that Christianity has. The greatest struggle must be to bring the hearts together so they together can be on their knees before Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, you supplying yours, I supplying mine, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Did I just give you a strong word, or do you see that wonderful treasure and that gold, the gold that's there, the treasure that Christ gives to us? We can sometimes walk through life and, again, maybe we're not really seeing the treasure, but as I studied this and you see the power there and you see what God wants to do there, I just found it to be, I find ourselves as humans to be unworthy of such a perfect God who helps us in perfect ways. And the more perfectly you and I can surrender ourselves and be less, the more perfect Christ can be where we are. And I just find that to be amazing. I find that to be amazing. So when I can leave myself behind and surrender to God's will, the more God can be seen from me and through me and around me. Paul gives more challenges. He goes back into the negative, starting in verse 17. I don't want to go there. I do want to give us a little challenge that Paul does give to us in same chapter, chapter 4, but it's in verse 30. There's three verses here that we can read. Paul says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind, and this is an interesting combination of verses. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. And then he seems to reveal what that looks like if we do. If we're disobeying God, this is the reality. Let all bitterness and wrath and so on. And then he goes to verse 32 again. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Again, what a blessing. Powerful. Chapter 5, 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And that is our heart, that we would be pleasing to God. I trust in some way, I hope that what I've shared can be a help to our foundation, thinking of our outreach. It can be a motivator. It can be just that reminder of how we can be at the feet of Christ and how God wants to work in us and through us, and how, again, that it's God's work and God's will, and not about us on a personal level or in any selfish way. We being fully surrendered to God, there is the most beauty. Again, we could think of it in this way. For us, the reality is the hardest thing to do is sacrifice of self, the denying of ourselves. That's the hardest thing to do. But when we do that, that's the strongest blessing. That's the time, and that is where we will find the strongest blessing from God. And that's just my heart for us this morning. It's not to, my heart is just that, to see this as a letter to us and an encouragement given to us. If we will seek the Lord and if we will be surrendered to Him, we can be sure that he can work in us mightily and we will have his blessing. And again, as I started right in the beginning, what blesses me is already seeing your testimonies, our testimonies. And here we have, I feel that we have such a blessing that we're going to have to be careful that Satan doesn't want to devour it. We have such a blessing to be able to have, you know, seven families desiring to serve God and being right with God and committed to serving the Lord all at the same time. It just seems to me that it's kind of like saying we are God has given it to us in such a way that I feel like we have a lot of strong laborers. We have a lot of blessings. We have a lot of good on our side. We have a strong start. We don't want to be arrogant or overconfident, and we don't want to be self-focused. We want Christ to be the focus, and all our hearts go to him. But again, just reflecting that, you know, reading stories where churches started and there's two or three families, and it's just a struggle, and the struggle of reaching out to those around them, and it just seemed to be a lot of weight and a lot harder. And here we have this blessing of seven of us families, each one of you serving the Lord, having God working in your life, us coming together. I think that's a treasure. Let us treasure it. Let us take care of it. Let us be careful. And at all times that our heart is that God would receive the glory. And we could talk about maybe sometime later, but just the activeness again of reaching out. And there's so much to this picture that is beautiful and that will bring God glory. And I trust that that's where our hearts are. That is what we would like. That's what we will strive towards. That is all I will share for my message this morning. And at this time, I will call up Peter and Anna Gunther.